Welcome to Explorers Wanted. We are a weekly Numenera actual play podcast. I will be your sweet and kind and gentle GM, Uwu, Daniel Anderlich. With me today is Stace Babcock.
Just woke up like 30 minutes ago from a killer nap, and I thought it was tomorrow. So
that sounds about right.
Samson Davis.
I never got into naps. Never liked them. Because either I feel worse after a half hour, or I just sleep the full 8 hours. It's always a bad time.
Oh, fair.
And in her triumphant return, Alex Finn.
See, I nap wrong as well, but that's because Max is like lording over me like a cat. And if anyone else tries to nap below him, he does try and make out with you in your sleep.
Some gross shit, Max.
Been there. Speaking of surprise affection, we have a new patron.
All right.
Yay.
Oh, no.
Red Malicious from our Discord has joined our Patreon. Thank you so much for your support, Red Malicious. It means the world to us.
Thank you.
But you know how you can best explore your worlds of imagination?
I have an idea. Die Hard Dice.
Yeah.
So Die Hard Dice, online purveyor of math rocks for presumably your TTRPG needs. They got a bunch of beautiful designs. Right now, I'm looking at their new relics page. They got these beautiful lifelink counters, not actual dice, but they spin and make numbers for your Magic the Gathering situations, other situations as well. They got spin down counters for, you know, when you have to put counters on your cards. They've got these really cool, like, metallic looking dice, but they're acrylic. So that's really cool. Beautiful pink Glacial Requiem. That's a nice light blue. Oh, this Soul Scorcher is just blood red. That's very nice. They're also doing, oh, is that what you're holding up, Alex?
Mm-hmm.
Very beautiful. They also have this really cool thing called rerolls right now, where they use the recycled plastic from all the different molds and dice designs over the years. Those have all been recycled into this new set. And I believe while they are selling these reroll dice, 50% of the proceeds for each quarter go to charity. Right now, it's the Palestinian Children's Relief Fund. So a bunch of beautiful dice. So if you want to feel good about buying stuff, go to Die Hard Dice. Pick the design that you want most. And when you go to checkout, use our code EXPLORERSWANTED. You get 10% off your order, whatever you're buying. And that helps to support the show. You're getting a high-quality product for a little bit cheaper. So go do that. Please and thank you. Goodbye.
So who remembers what happened last time?
Not me. I was playing with waifus.
I'm going to pick on Stace.
My God. I told you I thought it was tomorrow, Daniel. Ezri and the dark wizard, Neva, got down off the roof. This guy cannot stay quiet, save his life, got into a bunker. While in the bunker, Neva showed some surprising game and got a post-hurricane date.
What?
While Ezri tried not to confess to all of her crimes while inside the bunker, Ezri talked Neva into getting a tramp stamp that allowed her to track him so that she could find him after.
That's amazing.
And told him to come down to tier 8 to have a good time. Stay safe. You'll notice I'm not mentioning anything that Ilsen did yet. So Ezri took Neva down. Or no, that didn't take Neva down. Went down to tier 8, mostly through the tunnels. There was like a lot of water action going on everywhere, but the Enclave was okay. So Ezri got back to the Enclave. I think she talked to Tibu. There was some sort of conversation.
You talked to Yasmin. You were just about to talk to Tibu at the end of the episode.
Talk to Yasmin. Trying to decide what we're going to do with all this cold, hard cash. Did she also get the 750 shins from the train heist in that episode?
That is correct.
So Ezri's just fucking
rolling like, in that money.
Warren's rich right now. Yeah. And then Ezri was going to talk to Tibu and mention maybe the prison break.
I think she showed up right as you said prison break. Like she was right behind you at that moment.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's some mom ass shit, I tell you what. Meanwhile, Ilsen was at the Briskers with Bertrand.
Yeah, but it started before that because they were first at the entrance of the tunnel. They just washed out.
That's really interesting, Daniel. What else happened?
At least in my Zoom view, it looked like Stace and Samson were like playing chicken in a stare down.
Hey, you want me to recap Ilsen's side of things real quick?
Only if you want it to make sense. Please and thank you.
Yeah, so Magpie, Ilsen, and Bert just got washed out onto Tier 6 from the tunnels. We were all standing up, and then another wave knocked us down. And then when Ilsen looked up, she saw two masked, well-dressed people snagging Magpie and running off with her.
Somebody's got to.
And, yeah. And Ilsen, in that moment, decided, well, they look like they just knocked her out, so if they wanted to kill her, they would have done it now. So we probably got time to deal with that. What we don't have time for right now is dealing with Bertrand. So
there.
Ilsen decided to deal with Bertrand, who had woken up and is now running. Ilsen runs after Bertrand just in time for a ghoul to show up. And even though she's disguised and manages to catch up with Bertrand, tries to knock him down, the ghoul still like clocks that suspicious behavior and starts following Bertrand and Ilsen.
What?
Ilsen barely hanging on to this cover story that she is trying to protect Bert from somebody.
You said from the ghouls.
From the ghouls, yeah, from the ghouls. And it just works well enough for them to get to the Briskers' warehouse, where they get let in. And Ilsen hands Bertrand and the notebook over to Odalai, the notebook that she stole from a player intrusion in the tunnels from Magpie. So
fair.
So yeah, with the notebook, Ilsen is able to convince Odalai and the Briskers at large that Bertrand was basically the...
playing both sides.
Basically the thief, yeah, stole the relic. This entire time, Ilsen is still disguised and soaking wet, and Odalai, not being a good host, is basically kind of forcing Ilsen to watch Bertrand about to have a really bad time.
Boo. What a bad host. Didn't even give you a towel.
Didn't even give me a fucking towel.
And Ilsen even asked for
it.
Yeah.
Such a bad host.
Yeah, that's basically what Ilsen is dealing with.
Wow.
And also poor Bertrand, I guess. Whatever.
Nah. He was a jerk. It was established.
Feels like it took so much longer than that.
No.
Magpie.
Yeah.
What you remember is you got hit by a wave of water again.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were trying to get up, somebody threw a bag over your head and started grabbing you.
Was it a clean bag?
Ish.
Can't hope for more.
I mean, it's not bloody or, like, have filth on it or anything, but it probably hasn't been washed.
I mean, it could have been like a turnip bag or like onions, so.
Yeah, no. And then you felt something like a needle in your neck. And then you got incredibly drowsy and everything went dark.
Best nap ever.
You haven't really come to yet. You have one brief moment where you almost feel like you're waking up as you're being dragged in there. And you can't see anything because the bag's still over your head. And then you think you hear a voice. Put her over there. And you recognize it as Singlet's before you drift out again.
Bill.
Ilsen.
Hello.
Odalai is approaching Bertram with the hammer and the pliers. Bertram is freaking out like, it's not me, okay? It's not me. I did not steal anything. This woman told me that the ghouls were after me and chased me here. I have no idea what this is all about. No, Odalai, listen to me. Listen to me. And Odalai reaches out with the hammer and slams it down on Bertram's middle finger, breaking it.
At his right finger?
Bertram is right-handed, so yes. Odalai leans in closer. Who did you sell it to? And Bertram looks like, I never had it. Like I said, I didn't even know it was there. Like, why isn't it this, like, Magpie person? I mean, she said that I must have pissed some Magpie person off and that's why I was here. And Odalai says, you're not wrong, but, she found you for us. He reaches with the pliers towards Bertram's left hand.
I think at this point, Ilsen is, well, I don't think she was really watching any of this, so she's just hearing it shivering side of the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This time there is another slow cracking sound from the pliers instead of the hammer, and Bertram screams again, this time without words. Ezri, you're standing there with Yasmin. You just turned around, and Tibu has looked at you and said, what? Prison break.
You know, just helping a nano in need.
A nano in need.
Who needed to get out of prison. Yes.
Wait a second. What? Which prison?
Danith.
So, where the magistrates hold people.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Anybody see you do it, Ezri?
Oh, people definitely noticed, yeah. Although I was disguised, so you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, can you get more wanted, though, really?
I guess we're about to find out.
I mean, more wanted than, you know, knocking off a screamer.
Yeah, that I guess we're also about to find out.
So that's been my day. How was yours, Tibu?
Oh, you know, tried to calm everybody down when the tear was about to flood.
Everybody in here or everybody out there?
A little of column A, a little of column B.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. Looks like this place held up. Oh, as he pulls out that box and opens it up, more for the pot.
How much?
$7.50.
Wow. Okay. I guess I'll go add that up. How much heat do you think this prison break is going to bring?
I'm not sure. Probably a decent amount because, you know, magistrates don't like to be embarrassed or killed.
Right. Did you kill another one?
Well, not that I killed a magistrate this time. No. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Not this time. I was thinking maybe I would take some of this, maybe get a room somewhere.
She pauses for a second, like kind of freezes in her tracks. Like, move out?
I'm confused. You just asked me how much heat this is going to bring, so I thought you were concerned about the heat coming here.
Well, I am concerned for that. I just didn't expect that you were going to move out.
Temporarily? I mean, I don't have to.
Well, she pauses. She looks really uncomfortable. Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Sometimes I really feel like I cannot say the right thing to you, Tibu.
Do I make you feel that way?
I feel that way. Like, what do you want? You're always asking me what I want, what I've done. Well, what do you want? Because all I want is you guys to live, you know?
That's what I want. But I don't want these people to just, like, survive. I want them to live, have real lives. But I don't know how to do that right now.
Oh, probably. I mean, what can we get with this? Can we buy a dwelling? That's probably exactly what they call them there. Can we get apprenticeships for everyone?
I mean, definitely for quite a few of them if they want it. We could try to apply it for dwelling. The only downside is that, you know, we need to be careful about how we spend this so that we don't draw undue suspicion.
Okay. And that's why I was thinking I would go just stay somewhere else very temporarily, and we know how much heat there is.
No, you're probably right, Esri. You're probably right.
Wow, well, look at the time.
He was like, yeah, I'll get this added in here. Why don't you hold on to 200 shins till you figure out where you're going to be and how much it'll cost you.
Thanks. I'm going to take a nap. I feel like this is what everybody does. Everybody walks in the Enclave. It's like, I did this fucked up shit, guys. Faceplant, pass out.
It is a consistent thing in this season of Esri just like, well, I need to nap. I need to go to sleep.
Spending points like it won't kill me to spend all my points.
Spending points like a tier 6.
Yeah. Okay. Tibu takes the rest of the shins away and starts doing some arithmetic wherever she was at the desk where she was starting to work out different things that people might be able to do. So you're taking a nap. Okay. So you've already done your hour. So this is your 10 hour that you're doing, I assume.
Damn, that's a good nap.
It's 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
10 hours.
Okay. So, Magpie.
Yes?
You are starting to come to.
Hmm.
You realize that you don't have a bag on your head anymore.
Oh, nice.
So as you're kind of opening your eyes, you're sort of literally making out this room. It's relatively plain. It seems to be made of, like, clay bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a glow globe that is hovering in one corner. And you're sitting in a chair. You're not tied up, though.
Oh.
And you realize you're also not alone.
Oh.
You see, across the room, Singlet sitting at, not like a full desk, like one of those, like, roll-top secretary desks. And he is sitting there. One of these goons who is still wearing a mask, but is wearing essentially like a 3-piece suit, is standing at attention. And Singlet says to you, "We didn't bother with ropes. We know your special skills let you out of those. And I didn't think we needed to have anything so fancy as a field cage."
"Why would we need ropes? We're all friends here."
"Magpie, you've been very busy lately."
"Couple things here and there."
"As far as I can tell, nobody there has identified you, but at least one of our men spotted you heading out on a screamer, only to show up back about an hour and a half later."
"It was a quick trip."
"Hmm. And then I heard that you were seen running out of the senator's box at the arena." with Senator Fellow's security chasing you?
I was trying to be distracting.
But that's not your value, Magpie. Your value is your ability to get in and out without anybody seeing you. We are becoming worried that we may have to write off this investment soon.
I don't think soon is appropriate. I did have some fun, but back to business.
We can expect that this kind of behavior will not be common going forward.
Almost definitely. Completely back to the background.
Okay, give me a deception roll of, I'm going to say 15 in this case, because of some things that are going on behind the scenes.
So, persuasion?
Persuasion will help.
Visually opening communications?
Not in this scenario.
So we're down to a 12.
Yeah, so you're down to a 12.
Let's roll it straight. Not 20, thank you, Jesus. I was genuinely concerned that this is going to get too rough. She needs a nap.
He is going to buy it. What would you propose as a major effect?
That I don't die in this encounter. I think that's a good major effect.
If that's what you want to use it on, sure.
I mean, I'm trying to think of another good one for this. That I get to peacefully leave.
That's a smart one.
Yes, yeah. I realized death is only the beginning, and we can sure as heck get maimed while getting out.
Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, Magpie, I have another task for you.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes, thought you'd feel that way. We have need of a certain ledger. I need the ledger entries for the previous 3 months, and I need it from Vorna Mallow. I need a ledger of consort guild activities.
We get to see the consort? I'm so excited. That was Alex the person. I'm very excited by that idea that we get to go hang out with the consorts and experience Daniel being a very, very sexy people to the thirsty people on this call.
We need to get Ezri in a dress, if only for a moment.
Yes. Yes.
We will need this ledger relatively soon. The entries for this ledger should be getting consolidated within the next 2 weeks. Wait until it is consolidated so that it has the complete entries. It will then most likely be in Vorna Mallow's offices. There in her offices, we would assume a safe of some sort. We don't know the full layout of her facilities. She is not one of the entities that we have prior relationships with. Find it, get the ledger, do not be seen. It's better for everyone involved if they don't notice it's missing for a while afterwards. No witnesses, no casualties. Just like old times.
Just like old times.
He twists his fingers and he goes, fish fries, carbon skies. And then the rest of it kind of fades out for you. Once again, you can't move. And he is talking, but you can't make out what he's saying. And it's like your vision blurs whenever you try to look at his lips. Same thing, you can feel your mouth moving. You're trying to answer, but you can't hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes on for, it's hard to tell time-wise in this. Like, it could be like 10 minutes where you're aware that you're answering questions and in a certain amount of detail. And then he says something else, and then all of a sudden you have control of your body again. Good luck, Magpie. Fly well.
I think she just kind of gets up and leaves.
Okay. So you get up and leave, and you find yourself, you've been taken to, like, they dragged you down quite a ways. Like, you're on, like, tier 20.
Bitches.
And it's very rare that you're ever down this far in the Warrens. You know, there are people wandering around, but nobody's wearing, like, the, like, gang colors that you would normally recognize. You do see the Ilkers. They wear silver sashes as opposed to the Briskers. But there's not many of them around. This isn't like a major area for the Ilkers, but there are definitely gutter gangs. And there seems to be new gutter gangs all the time. But presumably anyone's here would be talking to the Ilkers or reporting into the Ilkers. And you come out of this building. It is utterly nondescript and unremarkable from the outside, just like the usual place that you meet Singlet up higher. You would mistake it for an abandoned building or a shack had you not been inside there with him. And what you don't see and don't hear is back in the room after you've left, when the goon turns to Singlet and says, "Well, I guess that's that. What do you want to do about Stonebreaker?"
Oh!
And then it cuts back.
Bitches.
Ilsen, it has been a long 3 hours.
All right. After, I think, the first hour, Ilsen's disguise would have fallen, so she would have positioned herself in a way where she doesn't have to maintain it and be out of Bird's line of sight.
Yeah.
Can I also take an hour recovery roll during this time?
Give me an intellect roll to see if you can actually rest while this is going on in the same room with you. Let's make it a 12.
Well, I rolled a 1, so how about that?
Okay. You take 3 points of intellect damage from the trauma of Eric seeing all this.
Fair.
Bertram is, of course, passed out a few times.
Yeah.
And this time, like, you can see that you're not sure what tool Odalai is reaching for now. I mean, he's traded off with some of his people a couple times. There's a lot of blood. Bertram, he's talking, but it's through, like, he's missing some teeth at this point. Okay, I think, no more. I'll tell you. That sounds good. So who do you sell to? One of those organized crime agents we were talking about, that you told me about. I sold it to Ilsen Vite.
That's amazing.
Odalai stops for a moment. He looks up at you, Ilsen, and then he looks down at Bertram. You sure about that, Bertram? I swear, it's Ilsen. She wanted it. I think she's involved in a lot of shit. I mean, you read the article. I think she's the connection to the infiltration in the underground. I even heard, but I can't prove it yet, but I even heard there's ghouls following her. Odalai pauses, stands up. Would you care to comment, Ilsen? And Bertram, like, jerking his head around trying to see you, but he can't yet.
If I had the money to pay for this artifact, I would have never gotten involved with you, Odalai.
Now that's an interesting tactic.
What? Telling the truth?
Feel like you're insulting me a bit.
Oh, shit.
I feel like I've been insulted by having to stay here and watch this poor piece of shit get torn apart.
Ilsen, you're the one who did this to me. You did this to me. You brought me here.
You did this to yourself, asshole.
How?
Got involved with the wrong people.
Okay. This is going to need your lies and trickery, for sure.
I feel like I've been telling the truth the whole time. But, yeah, all right.
Yeah, but I feel like what's happening now is Bertram has been tortured for hours. He is not a hard guy. So now he's casting this doubt on you. Odalai probably doesn't, like, 100% believe him. But it is also one of those things that you were a suspect before.
Yep.
And you're trying to sell this conversation with Bertram.
Fair enough, yeah.
Okay. And with Odalai, I think this is going to be... He's also tired from torturing somebody for hours. So I'm going to say it's 15. You're specialized in lies and trickery, which makes it 8-9.
9, yes. And I don't really have the points to spend, so I'm just going to try to go for that 9. 18.
Okay. Odalai looks at you, looks at Bertram. Has to try again, Bertie. You're right, it wasn't Ilsen. I was trying to protect her. It was Mopstall.
Ilsen just shakes her head, but she doesn't say anything.
Odalai says, Mopstall would have the kind of money to pay for something like that. What I don't understand is why she wants it. And then one of the riskers comes in. Boss, I know you hate to be interrupted when you're having a conversation, but we got a problem. Well, what's the problem? There are some vultures gathering. Ghouls? Yeah, at least 2 of them now. We're not sure. We might have spotted a 3rd as well. And one of the risker who originally showed you in, Ilsen turns to Odalai and says, she did say things were kind of ghoulish out there. And Odalai thinks for a second, because Bertram said he thought Ilsen was being followed by the ghouls. And he looks at you, Ilsen's like, did you lead a bunch of ghouls here?
You wanted the guy?
Fuck. We'll talk more about that later. We need to move. Turns to a couple of the briskers like, get that piece of shit and get him somewhere else safe. I'm not done with him. And they go over and grab Bertram, who passes out. Odalai says, we're out. Ilsen?
Odalai.
If you don't want to get apprehended by ghouls, I suggest you find your way anywhere but here. I don't recommend the front door. And he just walks out.
All right.
Meanwhile, Esri is having the best dreams.
Ilsen will make her way to in the direction of what looks like a back door. Mm-hmm. Is there a general direction that the Briskers are going in? Okay.
Yes.
I think she's going to try to follow them for a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so you start following them, and a Brisker turns around, steps up to you, grabs your collar, and says, "Fucking move it, Vite." And he pushes you towards not the door they're going out, but another door maybe 10 meters away.
All right. She'll go up to that door. Are there any other, like, windows, any other maybe anything that looks like she can make use of it as an exit, a thief's exit? I don't know.
Yeah, they're high up, so you would have to, like, climb to get to them. So if you think about this warehouse is big enough that it could be considered, like, it's like two stories, but without floors. Like, it's just that tall. So those windows are kind of along the top.
Okay.
You have abilities that would help you with that.
Yeah, I also only have 4 points of intellect left, so.
Yeah, I also don't know if you want to demonstrate how effective you are getting in and out of those windows to a Brisker right now.
Yeah, also that. Yeah, all right. She'll go to the door and peek through, see if she sees anything ghoul-like.
Give me an 18 perception roll.
Please. Cock. That's a 7.
You don't see any ghouls.
All right. Yeah, okay. She's going to change her face, and then she's going to change her face to look like the ghoul that grabbed her by the collar just now. Or looked like the Brisker that grabbed her by the collar.
Okay.
And then I guess she's just going to leave out the door.
Okay. So you leave out the door. Where are you headed?
She's going to initially make for the stairs.
Okay. So you start heading towards the stairs. Are you trying to go, like, sort of a stealthy route, or are you just heading out to the streets and heading towards the stairs?
Stealthy. As stealthy as you can, yes.
Okay. Give me a 21 stealth roll.
Okay. Now, I say initially towards the stairs, but at one point during this, she's just assuming that the ghouls are following her already. So initially she's making it for the stairs, but then she's going to turn towards the tunnels and try to go through the tunnels. So with that, can I argue for lies and trickery?
Sure.
Yes. Still 21?
Still 21 to start, so that'll be a 15 for you.
Okay.
Yep. Can't spend anything.
Fuck. 14.
Okay. Getting ready to make your, like, super secret turn towards the tunnels, when you hear a deep voice from behind you say,
"Sup, Pilsen?"
She starts running.
Hey.
Ooh!
I was just saying, okay. Sup.
Oh, I thought you said stop.
No.
Nah, I think she's still running. She's still gonna run.
Okay. This is gonna be in 15.
All right.
Running roll.
Fleet of foot.
Okay. I'll warn you that fleet of foot will not help with this particular ghoul. They do have fleet of foot.
That's okay. Fleet of foot is mostly to negate my inability and fast
move. Increase your distance.
And distance.
That doesn't really work that way.
Well, Claire, put a level of effort into this, because now's the time.
Okay.
So it's a 12 for me. 2.
Okay. So you start booking it. You've heard that ghoul behind you. And for a big guy, they are very mobile. And you feel them catching up to you, and then you feel a shoulder slam into you hard.
Oh, fuck.
Give me, could be, I think this is probably speed, I think, could argue might, to keep your balance. It's going to be a 15.
Okay. I'm going to argue for speed, because I am trained in careful movement.
Okay.
So I can reduce that to a 12. All right, another level of effort. Bring it to a 9. 11.
Okay. The shoulder slams into you. You do stumble for a moment, but you don't fall down.
Excellent.
But they are, like, right next to you.
Okay. Try to fake them out. With that stumble, try to, like, reverse her direction. Start running, like, in the opposite direction.
Yes. I think that'd be a 15. It's both fast movement and careful movement, so I guess that would make it a flat.
Okay. Can I argue for lies and trickery since I'm trying to fake them out?
No.
Damn it. All right. I'm probably gonna need these points for the beatdown I'm about to get, so I'm gonna roll that straight. That's a cock. 7.
Okay. You feel strong hands on your shoulders. Basically, like, you're trying to buck against away from them, and they've got a grip on you now. Stace, use your imagination. What does this ghoul say?
Wow, Ilsen. That's how you get hurt, running away like that.
Well, you cut an intimidating silhouette.
Thank you.
At this point, this ghoul has heard from the other ghouls about the dead body of the short ghoul that he usually encounters Ilsen with.
Ah.
Who you knew was following Ilsen.
I don't know if you heard, but my partner died recently. Who would do that?
I'm Sorry to hear that. I can't imagine what who would be able to take someone like you out.
It makes me real sad, Ilsen. When I get sad...
I love it.
I get mad.
That's fair. I don't know why you would think I had anything to do with this. I want nothing to do with you people. I'm just trying to make a living in the city.
Now that's a little expensive.
You strong, handsome, intimidating people.
Seems like you're kind of trying to make a dying, Ilsen, with, Because see, the thing is, our job has been to follow you. So my partner, who definitely has a name, followed you. And then they ended up dead.
Yeah, ghouls would not reveal each other's names to somebody else anyway.
Oh, okay.
I assure you, I have no idea what could have happened. Maybe I could help you find this person. How did they die? Was it poison?
How did they die?
So a blade was pushed all the way through their body from their back and out their chest. And then essentially their head got ripped off.
Stabbed in the back and beheaded. I don't need help finding them. What I do need, Ilsen, are some answers. Because if you can't give me any answers, then I have to assume it was you. And if it was you, then I have to drag you in, beat you up, kill you, whatever.
But that, none of that's necessary.
You're adding a lot of work to my plate, Ilsen.
I apologize. I don't know what could have done this, but I do remember seeing a guard on the surface city also beheaded when I was walking away from the dog show. The body was in an alleyway. I had nothing to do with that as well, so I...
And you did share that information with the ghouls earlier, too.
Like you know.
So you walk through a room, people just start dropping dead from beheadings.
It could happen.
I admit, it's strange that it's happened more than once.
This was supposed to be an easy job. We're supposed to follow the weird little reporter. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm mad.
No, it's okay.
You can. Adorable.
You're in your feelings, Ian.
I'm going to need some better answers. Or I'll introduce you to some of my other friends that you haven't met yet. They take their jobs very seriously.
Why don't you start now? Says a voice walking up the alley. Ilsen, you see another ghoul. This one with roughly jaw-length red hair. The way she walks, she doesn't make a sound with her feet. But as she's approaching, she's got really sharp lines to her face. And she has really, like, cold-looking eyes. They're almost black, but they still feel cold, even though they've got that darkness to them. Between a dead partner, a robbed train, and whatever the fuck was going on tonight, we better settle some of these issues fast.
Have the ghouls tied Ilsen to the train heist?
No, they do not know that Ilsen was involved in the train heist yet. They're referring to the fact that a train heist happened.
Oh, okay. So this is like, we need to clear some projects from this list.
Yes. So clearly, somehow word has gotten back to Lathe about what happened on the train at this point.
Sure.
Can you help us solve any of these problems, Ilsen? Because I don't want to have to do anything drastic. You know, we prefer not things to get ugly, but if it does turn into something where we have to take a finger whenever you can't answer a question for us, or when we have to have one of these conversations, you're going to run out quick at the rate you're going. She turns at the big ghoul, right?
Would be real hard to be a reporter without fingers.
Or your other projects. They'd become difficult too. You know, your art collection.
All right. About last week, I heard that there was somebody was looking for a, sounded like a puffin. A large coffin. And day before the dog show, I heard that that coffin or something had made its way to a senator's estate.
All right. Which senator's estate?
Fellows. They were bringing something in.
Interesting.
I thought it was strange that a coffin would be in the conversation. So I don't know. It sounded old. Forgive me for saying this. It sounded prior world.
I see. Something we can look into. She turns to the big ghoul. The redhead looks at the big ghoul and says, what do you think? I mean, I vote for a pinky just to make a point, but your call.
How about this, Ilsen? You keep us informed about these little things that you know, and you get to keep your pinky.
Yeah.
Although I am short a pinky for my collection.
I know, they always go the fastest. All right, Ilsen. The redhead reaches into their pocket and pulls out a small piece of green glass. We'll check in on you from time to time, probably more often these days. But if you find you have information for us, put this in your window, and one of us will find you shortly.
Understood.
No being clever, Ilsen. No tricks.
I mean, look at where it's gotten me, so understood.
The redhead sighs, looks at the large ghoul, reaches up and sort of runs their hand, like, caressingly through his hair, and then turns and walks away.
Now I have a new partner, so thanks. I got my eye on that pinky. Be good, Ilsen.
Ilsen just quietly nods.
Okay, and then the guard walks away. Ezri, you wake up from your extended sleep because you feel something warm and heavy on your chest.
Don't be a deuce.
I was going to say.
Damn, Yasmin.
Tebow's finally sleeping.
Good times.
And you wake up, you find yourself, like, as you lift your head up to look, you're looking into the sleeping face of Mr. Tompkins.
Oh, thank God. I was worried about him.
Aww.
And that's rolling this episode. Man, I don't know who to pick. Probably Samson for this episode.
Oh, I can't believe Ilsen just became an informant. That's so fucked. Oh, my God.
But, hey, you didn't get tortured by the Briskers.
That's a good one, yeah.
I lost 3 intellect points. I think I did get tortured by the Briskers.
You just gotta, you know, bootstrap it. It's fine.
So, can we all just acknowledge how cold as fucking ice Ilsen is to just, like, sit there during that?
I know!
Not have second thoughts at all?
Just like, yep, we're doing that.
Well, she couldn't leave. She tried to leave last episode, and I think starting this day with the fucking dog show, she's probably numb to a lot of violence at this point. Not in a healthy way.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Not stone cold. It's just that the dissociation is strong with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, this city really sucks to live in.
Yeah. Like, holy shit.
Why do people do it?
Yeah. Why did Ilsen move there?
So weird.
Oh, my God. It seemed better in Margothy. I'll say that. It sounded a lot better. City of dreams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely that. Okay, cool. Well, we have a segment that we do each week called Player Intrusions. That's where we offer you, the listener in XP, to check out something that we think you'd really dig. This week, it is Stace's turn. Stace, what would you offer our listeners in XP to check out?
Oh, one of the many fun things I've done recently. So I will offer our listeners in XP to check out Star Trek Enterprise, which I don't think I've recommended before. But if I have, I mean it. So
we really mean it this time.
Yeah. Let me see when this show. So Enterprise is kind of like the Star Trek series that people kind of shit on sometimes. They're like, it's not real Star Trek, all of that jazz. But I have to tell you, if you accept it for what it is, it's a really good show. So it's about the very first Starship Enterprise that humanity built going out on its first adventure. And it's pretty cool because, you know, Star Trek as a whole has had this, like, fairly utopian depiction of the future, right? Like, there's no need for money. People's needs are met. It's fantastic. And Enterprise humanity is sort of has gotten to the point where they're not actively killing each other on the planet anymore, but they still haven't reached necessarily those utopian levels. Like, they're still... Well, it was also the 2000s. So some of the jokes, you're like, yeah, this feels like 2000. But it just shows sort of like a bridge between, like, theoretically where we are now and where Star Trek proper, you know, ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out in the ship. It's like underpowered. It's got crap weapons. They don't really know what they're doing. They're mostly in this show. Humanity is like friendly, curious, and winging it, which isn't that different from main Star Trek or regular Star Trek, the other shows, except just much more egregious. So, but it's also like the introduction to a lot of the other species that are met in the future. So, for example, there was like a kind of a Borg episode before the Borg were really a known thing, before the cubes, all of that. The Vulcans in this show are very focused on making sure humanity doesn't, like, trip over their own dick and blow themselves up with warp technology. So they put a advisor on Enterprise, Paul, the science officer. She's very Vulcan. Archer, Scott, how do you say it, his last name? Bakula? Scott Bakula? Is it like Dracula?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got back.
Yeah. He's Captain Archer. He does a pretty good job with that as well. And a lot of the episodes, especially early on, are like genre episodes. So there's like a horror episode. There was a romance episode that was like a 45 minute enemies to lovers. But then they also deal with themes that, like, rewatching it, I was kind of surprised for the 2000s, but this is kind of what Star Trek does. Like, they did one that was really exploring reproductively necessary third gender.
Mm.
There was one where the first human to become pregnant by an alien species was a man. So just dealing with a lot of these hard questions, and the episodes, while entertaining, don't always end like in a happy place, especially with the sort of gray areas of morality. Like, it ends and you're just like, wow, that was a shitty situation with no good solutions. And it also does a really good job showing the unintended consequences of first contact. You know, this is before the Prime Directive and all that jazz. I think the characters are really well done. Going into space is an old hat in this show. Right. You have people who are afraid. They don't want to use the transporter because there are a lot of transporter accidents, all this stuff. So it's a really fun romp. There is an overarching arc. Sure. About the Time Wars. Some people say the Time War is confusing. They're right. But just go with it. You know, those are some pretty good episodes, too. So I recommend, if you haven't already, even if you've heard some negative things about it, check out Star Trek Enterprise. It doesn't feel exactly like Star Trek, but it does feel like the prequel that it is supposed to be. So there you go.
Hmm. Okay.
What year did it come out? 01.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Interesting. I got to ask, pre or post 9/11?
15 days after.
Whoa.
So the first season must have been recorded prior.
Yeah. Written, certainly.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to go and watch that now, because that would be just like a historical exercise to see how that changes things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just the morality questions. You're like, wow, I watch it and I'm like, maybe not like where understanding or like society's understanding, like as a whole, has necessarily evolved to at this point, but I'm like, not bad for 2001, to be honest. I expected it to be much worse. Like, it's been so long, you know, I didn't remember everything, but like the pregnancy episode, like there were some jokes and he was having, you know, standard pregnancy symptoms, like wanting to eat and like do all that, but it wasn't like egregious. They do a good job.
Nice.
That's surprising, but good.
Well, if people wanted to tell us what they think of Star Trek Enterprise or the podcast, how would they do that, Samson?
Well, they can find our socials on explorerswanted.fm. That's our website. You'll see on there that we have a Mastodon. We are at explorerswanted@dice.camp there. On Blue Sky, we are at explorerswanted.fm. On Instagram and Facebook, we are at explorerswantedpodcast. But the best place to talk to us about movies and video games and TV shows is our Discord. explorerswanted.fm/discord will take you there. Also, if it is within your means and you're feeling generous, patreon.com/explorerswanted is a great place to support us. And please use our Dice affiliate code to Die Hard Dice. Explorers Wanted at checkout. Get 10% off your order.
And if you can't financially support us, we totally understand. Best thing you can do is to tell your friends, tell them what you like about the show, why they should listen to it. The second best thing that you could do for us is to give us a 5-star written review on a podcast directory like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. Those really make a big difference for people finding the show. And if you didn't like the podcast, or if you just thought it was meh, well, the heat is miserable in this place. You wipe the back of your hand across your brow, and it comes away sopping wet. You try to run your fingers through your thinning, damp hair, and find a tangled mess with knots so tight that they threaten to tear skin. Your breath comes in labored gasps, the thick air weighty in your lungs. You first thought that being out of the sunlight would make it better, but the dark here offends your animal sensibilities, demanding a visible reason for this hellish warmth. How much longer can this last? You hear another heaving breath behind you. You turn to look. There's nothing there. Only more darkness. This damn dark. Light would at least make it obvious to you that your vision is blurring, that the thumping in your ears is more than just your pulse, that this heat will never end, that there is no way out. If you want to reach out to us individually on social media, you can. You can find me on Mastodon as Daniel at Anderlick, ANDRLIK.org.
You find me on our Discord if you squint really hard. I'm Stace Windu.
I'm at Slam Potato on Twitter and Blue Sky, and at Slam Potato at Dice.camp on Mastodon.
I was just like wondering if like Daniel was going to tell us like the knotted hair was like on your butthole. And I was just like disappointed that it was so vanilla. I'm Timothy Unicorn on Twitch, Threads, and Instagram.
Listen, I can't help it. I'm a basic bitch. That's it for us. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week, as we will for every week in the foreseeable future. Have a good night, day, weekend, or whenever you're listening to this. And bye!